Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we talked about it for quite a while. We touched on a lot of different topics, infrastructure, improvements, road work, lighting, all kinds of sorts of projects that needed to get completed, most of which was accomplished as we are joined by one of the leaders of many, many teams and a lot of folks that worked hard each and every day to make sure that it happened. Michael Heck, President and CEO of GNO Inc. Michael, let me just say congratulations to you, your team, and the thousands upon thousands of volunteers that worked really, really hard to put our best foot forward, and it paid off. And the execution, although maybe not flawless, was near flawless, and things went really well.
Things went, I think, far better and greater overall than you or I, or, you know, anybody who's optimistic or understand what's going on the ground could have realistically hoped for 9 months ago when we started. From Uber drivers to Roger Goodell, who I chatted with briefly, to the internet, which was like almost uniformly positive. I think that we can say objectively and without without exaggeration, that this was the best Super Bowl week ever. I think we've set a new bar in terms of this celebration, and I'm just so grateful to the hundreds, the dozens of organizations, the hundreds and thousands of people. They say there's no I in team. There's no I in New Orleans either. It was an awesome team effort, and in the last few seconds, it came together, man. So I'm happy. I'm stunned. I'm not even tired. I'm just kind of amazed.
Yeah. You know, Michael, I thanked everybody, congratulated all. And the other day in a monologue, I pointed out that New Orleanians themselves played a very important role. And there are a series of anecdotal stories of visitors here that were so thankful of the way that they were received by everybody in the city.
There's no question. Whenever you talk to anybody from, again, a visitor to people with the NFL, it's the genuine warmth, the authenticity, the pride of place that everybody here feels that makes it fundamentally different from doing the event in almost any other city. I was talking to somebody who's been to the game in L.A., and they said L.A. is so big and so transitory that when they have the Super Bowl there, you know, it feels like there's a big game going on around the stadium, but the rest of the city just kind of continues business as usual. When the game happens in New Orleans, and particularly this one, it felt like this perfect amalgamation of Mardi Gras and the Super Bowl, and it was just a joyful celebration all week that I think visitors and residents all pretty much participated in. So yeah, the vibe was, as the kids say, the vibe was outstanding, no cap.
Now there's one area that you did let us down on. I don't know if you're aware of this.
There are many, but tell me which one particularly. Well, now that everybody's listening,
Patrick Mahomes didn't get the memo.
we needed
a better game. Let me quote these stats to you. So at the peak, which was right around maybe the first 25% of the second quarter of the game, we had 137.7 million viewers of that game. It dropped precipitously to 123.7 million viewers for an average of 127.7. Had they played just a little bit, we probably would have broke records.
I mean, you know, here's how I interpret it. There are a couple of things going on. One is Philly is just, they're a nasty team. I mean, between their line and Hurts and Barkley and their defense, when we saw what they did, you know, in the championship before this game, you know, they're a bad bunch of men out there. And then I think that what happened with KC is that they've got a magical quarterback, a legendary coach, but the reality is that they're kind of thin, and they got, you know, they kind of pulled it out of the hat a few games this year, and I think that their luck just ran out. But there's something else. And I think it's ironic, or maybe fitting. So one of Taylor Swift's most well-known and liked songs is Karma is a God. And I think when you go out there on national TV and say that New Orleans food is not very good and you don't like it, when we know that there's three things that we're objectively like really good at, food, music, and Mardi Gras, you're the universe. What was that guy's boat, Sadiq Khan's Kismet? The universe speaks back to you. And I don't care what type of clown outfit or glittery 1970s thing from Studio 54 Kelsey wore. He probably should have kept his thoughts about jambalaya to himself for the good of the game.
You just can't help some people, right?
No, you know, FYFO, Kelsey, sorry.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So you and I talked about this a lot, the aftermath of Super Bowl. You know, you come off this high, and there were some things that did not get completed. And so when do you guys kind of reestablish your committee, and have y'all done that already? I mean, we're only a few days after the Super Bowl. I figure you might give them a week off, but, you know, what are the plans?
Well, I'm happy to say that we had our regular scheduled meeting this morning over at City Hall on the ninth floor, chaired by Joe Threat, attended by about 24 organizations, about, I don't know, maybe 50 to 70, probably over 75 people if you include the Zoom, and we're now rolling into Mardi Gras. And I think that everybody has seen that this works. Everybody has seen that if we focus on a goal and become problem solvers collectively, that we can be world class. And I give a ton of credit to Joe, to Gilbert, to the city, the state, everybody, that they're determined just to keep up this rhythm. So, you know, I guess we had a couple of days off, but I think the thing is that, you know, this winning is fun. And now that we've seen we can do it, I think that people are not enervated. They're energized. They want to get back into it, and they want to now fix the next set of roads and, frankly, identify the next set of 500 projects. So there are a few things that didn't get done before this. There's a little bit of Iberville behind the Hard Rock site. We didn't get the street signs up in the French Quarter. Those will go up. But then we're going to go on to the, you know, parts of the city that didn't get taken care of because of the Super Bowl, and then we'll have Jazz Fest, and then we'll have Essence. And I think that at least through the end of this administration, and I hope beyond that, we're going to continue this rhythm because it's working. And frankly, it's enjoyable. It's great getting the good feedback. It's everybody is thriving on the positive recognition for a job well done. And so, we're already back at it.
If you look on you know, Instagram and X and others, you see a lot of really positive comments by folks that visited here, and that's always you know, good to see and good to hear as well. Unsolicited, just saying thank you. We had a great time. We really appreciate your hospitality.
Yeah, it is. It's been really something to see the quotes on online, and you know, some of them have been from, you know, I guess standard sources like Sports Illustrated saying the Super Bowl should be back here in 2029 and every year after that. That was Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated. You've got folks like Cardi B, you know, food critic and sometime rapper, saying her quote is like, "Damn, everything tastes good here." You've got my favorite though. I mean, there is some stuff kind of not safe for work on Instagram, but my favorite is this woman, and she's walking down Bourbon Street, and she goes, "What did y'all do? It smells like Febreze." And we're gonna get, by the way, we're getting Sidney Torres on the show next week. We could tell, he'll maybe reveal his secret, or he won't, like his, Coke won't reveal their ingredients, yeah. But
his secret sauce.
Yeah, and then look, I was able to talk to Roger Goodell for a little while, and you know, he was clearly thrilled by what he saw, which meant he was thrilled by the feedback he was getting from the owners. And so when everybody from the Uber drivers to the Instagrams to the NFL leadership is saying this was extraordinary, I think you have to sit back and just accept it and say thank you, that the combination of the physical structure of the city with its density combined with the cultural authenticity, which is increasingly in demand in a kind of homogenous, you know, world. And then the fact that we do have a muscle memory in this state and this city for putting on big events. We're just really good at it, including the residents. Like, they know what to do. You've got to help the visitors. You got to pick up the trash. You got to, you know, offer people assistance who are in trouble. And you put that all together and you compare this to what they're going to have next year in San Francisco, where the game is 50 miles away in Santa Clara. I mean, that's like a 2-hour drive. And so this is the right way to do it. And I do think that we're going to get the Super Bowl now. It's something in the single digits because it works for literally everybody who is a part of the event.
Michael, one of the things that hasn't been talked about a lot, it has, you know, been out there a little bit. So the governor hosted, Governor Jeff Landry hosted a series of meetings with business folks that were coming here from all over the world. And it seems as though, I mean, I've heard, you know, a little bit of information here, a little bit of information there. Folks really enjoyed that, that the state kind of went out of their way. Susan Bourgeois, who, you know, she's been on this show many times, in leveraging this event for economic development for the state of Louisiana. And I'm beginning to hear more and more about some of the success stories. And it looks like they're working on a lot of things right now.
Yeah, this was unprecedented for a Super Bowl in New Orleans. And I think unprecedented at this scale for any Super Bowl, where the state set up the Louisiana Now Pavilion and used it as a headquarters, essentially, for events. I had the somewhat remarkable honor of doing a fireside chat with Governor Landry and 50 Cent, who zoomed in because he had a man cold, for everybody doing interviews. One morning, Susan Bourgeois did 27 interviews over, like, yeah, 2 hours. For having thank you events like the governor's gridiron, for private entities having their parties like LCMC. And I think it did a couple of things. I think specifically it gave us a chance to showcase Louisiana and to market to people, to sell to people in a space outside of just the Superdome. But I think more than that, it sends a signal that Louisiana is serious about and is committed to having business relationships at the highest level. And that's really important, because when CEOs and boards are making these decisions about where to invest, where to relocate, where to expand, so much of that is about confidence in the relationship. And I think if we can continue in this vein for another 7-plus years under the current leadership structure, we can fundamentally change the way Louisiana is perceived by the business community, by the site selection community. And that change in perception is almost as important, maybe some people would say more important, than even the changes in reality and things like our tax code.
And they had a little, you know, card that they were handing out that, you know, it says, tell us what we need to know, the Louisiana opportunity. And it talks about all of the successes, both recent and historic successes of the state, which I thought it was a really nice touch because in fact, I read through it about 3 or 4 times and I learned things that, you know, and you and I talk about this every week that I had no idea, was actually existed. When you talk about the amount of pipeline that we have, natural gas pipeline in this state, 50,000 miles of natural gas pipelines, enough to wrap around the earth twice. You know, so when you talk about infrastructure to move natural gas, I can't imagine there are too many states that have more than we have.
No, it's, you know, this is something that we started actually way back after Katrina with GNO Inc. We called them STARS, Statistics, Testimonies, Awards, and Rankings. And when one would come in, we just put it out there because people just needed to know these facts. And then we would collect it on a one-pager and give it to people. So now Susan and LED have taken that to the next level with this card that lists out these facts like every manned spaceflight since Apollo has been built in Louisiana, or we export the majority of the LNG around the world, or the recent one that just came out that we were best in the nation. This one just came out, it's not on there. We were best in the nation in lack of reduction in performance due to COVID. We suffered the least. And in other words, we performed the best in terms of grade school performance. We have to get these things out there because the brand of Louisiana is a double-edged sword. People love us, but they love us for our food, music, and Mardi Gras. They don't love us as a place to risk their capital or invest their company. And so to kind of put a bit of a crass analogy on it, what we have to do is convince people that Louisiana and New Orleans, that we're not just a hot date, we're marriage material. You know? We want to, right? I mean,
I don't know. I have this vision of you saying this to, you know, a major international corporate head in a meeting. We're not just great dating material. We're not a hot date. We're great marrying material.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. You got to understand if you're talking to like a group from Chicago. You know, they'll get it. I've tried these jokes with like Scandinavian companies and and they just give you that look and, you know, they don't know if it's that their English is not so good or if this is just something they've never encountered before in this setting. And so, yeah, there is something of a cultural appropriateness that I've got to keep working on here with the dad jokes.
So there is a move afoot. LED announced a new state-backed venture fund and a research institute focused on artificial intelligence. It seems as though we want to get out in front of that curve, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, so I'm so happy that Susan Bourgeois and that Josh Flegg, as the first chief innovation officer for the state, is doing this. By setting up this Innovation Institute and starting a new division called Louisiana Innovation, or LA.io for short, putting in funding, creating an institute that's going to be the center for AI, what we're doing is we are staking out our place at the beginning of this wave. And I think it's very fair to compare this with what we did not do back in the 80s. And back in the 80s, when other governors and other states were going to visit Mr. Toyota or visit BMW in Germany, we didn't do that. I can't verify this, but I understand that one of the things is that Governor Foster didn't like to fly. So we just didn't do it. And the result of that echoed for a couple of generations, because there's no reason whatsoever that Louisiana should not have auto manufacturing. I mean, objectively, we're good at manufacturing. We import the rubber, we import the steel. But what happened is that we didn't form the relationships. We didn't take the first step. So as a result, every other state around us has combustion and now electric auto manufacturing. So the fact that the state is leaning forward, starting with the governor and the relationship with Meta, and then we had Google at the governor's pavilion, means that we're going to be in on this wave, and we're not going to look back in regret over the next couple generations about this. It's a big deal.
Absolutely, no doubt. All right, we got to get to a break. We'll come back with our special guest. We're visiting with Michael Heck, President and CEO of G&O Inc. Stay with us, folks.